Hello and welcome back to another episode of Spilling the Tea. I am your host, Aisling. You might know me from AOK Nutrition. In case this is your first episode over on Spilling the Tea, we talk all things hormones, we talk female health, we talk vaginas, we talk cervical mucus, all the good stuff. This may be your first episode if Sinead Hegarty has sent you our way. And this episode, I chatted to Sinead. And I was so grateful to have Sinead on because if you follow her, you will know that she has been diagnosed with endometriosis, with adenomyosis, and that can be two really difficult issues, really. They're both inflammatory kind of hormonal issues. Sinead's really open and honest with her experience with it, and I just thought she would be an absolutely amazing guest to have on because not only is she one of my clients, but she's obviously so open about her experiences. She has been through the diagnosis, she's had her surgeries, and now she's living her best life on the other side. So I hope you guys enjoy the chat today. I am going to be doing a whole episode on endo, so don't worry, it is coming. But I just thought this would be a lovely initial kind of introduction for people who might be going through the same thing. They're not really sure if they have it or not. And to really see like there is light at the end of the tunnel. Sinead has tried so many different things and she is kind of a walking example that lifestyle medicine really, really does work for this. I'm sure you all follow her, but her Instagram is Sinead Hegg. I will leave the details below. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this episode and I will chat to you all again next week. Hi Sinead, thank you so much for chatting to us today. I know already this episode is going to get so many listens, number one because it's you on the podcast and I feel like anything you talk about people want to listen to, but I know this is such a huge topic. Whenever I put up chat boxes, endometriosis, I'm always questioned about it, and it's something that my heart breaks for people with endometriosis, the diagnosis. Like the first thing I say when someone comes to me with it, I'm like, tell me your story. Tell me what's happened. It's never straightforward. So for you, first of all, thank you for joining us. I know it's nighttime for you. I'm sitting here with my morning cup of coffee. So I think what's kind of the best way to start is start from the beginning. Like what age when you got your first period? When did it all kick off in terms of pain? Like let's go back to the start. Yeah.
My first period. Oh God, I don't even know. I think I remember my first period. I was like, weird because I remember it was a bit of blood or something, and then I texted my mom and I was like, can you bring tampons or whatever or pads? So that's all I can remember, but I think I was a bit of a late bloomer, so I kind of like wanted my period so because everyone else had their period. But I felt like people used to lie about their periods too. I feel like I lied to my friends at the start because I was like, oh, I've caught my period too, because I was quite a late person. I can't even remember how old I was. What's a normal age of getting your period?
I don't know. I was 11 when I got my period. It's actually a week for my 12th birthday. So I was in like sixth class.
Right. But then I think I was like 15.
Yeah, which would actually be like, but were you really into sports? Like, were you really lean and kind of, I think girls who were real sports were younger. Like,
yeah, very sporty, cross country. Yeah. And like, probably didn't have the best nutrition. I think I lived on Chicago Town pizzas, waffles, and chicken burgers. Like, I hated every piece of green food there was until like I was older.
You lived on a beige diet.
And like I used to always remember like just every night having like my Chicago champagne. I was so fussy, I wouldn't eat anything else, which is so weird. And then I grew up and I remember having my first salad in university and like burping cucumber and being like disgusted, and now like cucumber is like my favorite thing ever to have, which is so random. But because I went to Magaluf
learning years ago, taste buds change every 7 years, and this is why like you get your late 20s, you're like, oh my God, I love red wine and olives now, even though like, you know, 15-year-old actually wasn't drinking red wine, you know?
Yeah. I always say, somebody says that if you eat something three times, your taste buds get accustomed to it and then you start craving it.
Yeah, that happened to me. I hated black pudding for years, like absolutely. And mushrooms, couldn't cope with them. And I'm obsessed. Well, I don't really eat black pudding that much, but I love mushrooms, like absolutely obsessed with them. And I'm like, I wasted like 27 years on eating these foods. We're off the tangent here, but going back to your period, like, do you remember being in pain in school then when you got your period? Was it something that affected you?
So if I'm being truly honest, I didn't have any symptoms until I remember having really bad stomach problems. Like I felt like stomach problems, more like bloating, and I would like go to things like peppermint tea a lot when I was younger. But I also had like a lot of, you know, disordered eating, and like, you know, I was the kind of girl that one meal a day, but then binged. So I kind of had like And you know what? I feel like a lot of people went through that because there was such a lack of nutritional advice and all we wanted to be was skinny. And we thought not eating it equals skinny. And it wasn't like, and we genuinely thought that we were being healthy by eating this one salad a day. So I do remember eating very, very little in the times of living around Magaluf when I lived in Spain and stuff like that. So I didn't have any pain. I had stomach issues that I felt was stomach issues. And then I would say that my pain started to get really bad. Probably two and a half years ago.
Okay.
Which coincides with having the vaccine, which sometimes say to me, which sometimes it does, like, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what happened.
I have just said nothing about this. If you think I get questions on endo, I get questions all the time on vaccines, things like that. And I just am like, I just can't have an opinion because I don't know enough research. Yeah. I know from looking at my clients, I've seen mad hormonal shifts, just bizarre stuff that have happened. And I'm like, it's, you know what I mean? Or people's cycles have gotten really regular. People have got spotting. I didn't ovulate when I had my first vaccine for the first time ever in my life. Yeah. Like, what the hell? Like, and I had the most horrific period. So not to say that it's a kind of, cause, but anyone that I see with an autoimmune condition, and I'm going to do a full episode on endo anyway for anyone listening. But when I see clients for endo, I kind of separate into two separate categories. I have one side we need to focus on hormone support, and the other side we need to focus on gut health, because your gut health is most of your immune system. And we would see endo as an autoimmune condition. So with any autoimmune condition, sometimes it's a trigger that actually causes the symptoms. It's like as if you're predisposed. It's like sitting there in the background, like waiting to leap almost. And it's, it could be a death in the family. It could be an illness. Like I find if someone has something like really bad, like glandular fever, or if someone had like shingles or a really bad viral infection like COVID, that can actually trigger things. So that's quite interesting. Yeah. That's what I picked up for you.
Just before that as well, so this was another thing, that I had dengue fever.
So I remember you when you were so unwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was after that. So it was kind of in the midst. So I had dengue fever in Bali, and then I got my vaccine after that. So, and after my dengue fever, you know, I did suffer a lot with hair loss, and you know, a lot of things came on. I think I spoke to you actually just after that, because I was so concerned about like how my scalp and my hair was falling out and stuff like that. And then the pain started to be every day, like at one point, like really, really bad. But also because they were trying to find out what was wrong with me, I was then getting diagnosed with anemia. So then they were feeding me loads of iron, and then the iron in the stomach with the endo was making it so much worse. So I ended up being severely in pain with like
constipation,
all the things that was going on. So yeah, so that's basically, and that's been a massive issue for me in my endo, like constipation and, you know, not being able to pass food. And I'm starting to notice a pattern as well. And I honestly didn't know as well that I'm a pretty constipated girl. I actually am like, really, like when I go to the doctors, like they're like, oh, Sinead, that's not normal. And I'm like, what? Yeah. People go to the toilet every day. So, and I've started to obviously be really aware, because I don't really know until now. So I've started to be really aware.
You're not like to your friends, how many times you poo today? Do you know them? And heavy periods, you're the one, people don't know if the periods are heavy, because you're not like, oh, how many tampons have you used this cycle? So I'm always saying to clients, like, what do you use, pads or tampons? Like, what's your poo like? And they're like, some people come to me and they won't even take constipation on the consultation sheet. And then I'm like, what are your bowel movements? Like, oh, I go every 3 days. And I'm like, yeah, that's constipation. I'm like, no, that's normal for me. But I'm like, yeah, you're always constipated, you know? And by far, when I look at someone for endo, there's two things that are like massive, like red flags or something I have to focus on straight away. It's making sure they're not low in iron and B12, and it's and vitamin D, and then it's making sure they're not constipated, because it's affected by hormones, not generally cause, like it's not the root cause, it's the hormones. But you can't, the way you get your hormones is you poo it out. So it's such a vicious cycle, you know? But do you think, looking back now, like I know from working with clients, people are misdiagnosed with IBS for years, because your bowels and your uterus are right beside each other. So you go into the doctor, and it's just, you're told you've died. So do you think that those digestive issues probably were endo and it just wasn't picked up on?
Yeah. So I had a lot of people say maybe IBS, maybe. See, but I never had, it was different. Like I can't describe it. Like I would be like, I have a striking pain. Like I feel like I'm being stabbed in the side, like to the point where, and it's such a weird pain. I was trying to describe it to someone last night, because you are actually, it's so, you're so, so uncomfortable, but yet you're okay. you can actually walk around, you know what I mean? But you're severely, severely uncomfortable. And then, but I think that the worst thing was, sorry, people are coming in. Hey, Kat. So I think the worst thing was that, I've lost my train of thought now. Wait, hold on.
Talk about pain.
Was, yeah, so I'd
like,
say.
Like go by, oh my God, it actually like is so upsetting. You guys are walking by and like no tops on and it's obviously like roasting over there.
Yeah, like, it's really hot. so yeah, I'd say like the pain was, it's very striking. And when you see pictures of barbed wire around organs, that's the only way I can describe it. It's like barbed wire. It's like really constraining. It's very, it's loads of pressure. And, you know, they would say, I remember someone said like, maybe you've got a pulled muscle, like a doctor telling this. And I was like, please, 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 can you touch and feel this organ? Like I would have this organ on my left side that was pretty intense, and then in the middle as well. So I'd say that that pain started there by two and a half years ago. And it was at the, and then when I was on the iron, I was probably getting pain every single day to the point where I had to leave anywhere I was, anything I was wearing, shorts, jeans, thing, all had to be opened. It was very uncomfortable. I couldn't sit for dinner. I'd have to leave early. And to be honest, I just kept going back to the doctor, and the hair started falling out. And the reason why I didn't say endometriosis so quickly was because I don't have the heavy periods. So, and that's, you know, because obviously that's what I first, like when I'm looking at the diagnosis, it's like very extreme periods. Whereas I have very, very light periods, but had very intense pain and very intense PMS, like intense boob pain, intense, like everything. I think you remember, like I was like, my hair was falling out. I had very intense boob pain. I would have very bad moods. And then they suggested PMDD. But yeah, it was just a mountain of pain, and like it felt like it just didn't exist for other people. And it's so hard because it's so invisible, because you're still you're not like in bed, although there's the odd time where I do feel like I can't get up my bed, but like I'd say like you can walk around. And it baffles me sometimes how people can go to work if not. Oh my
God. So this is the thing, in Ireland now their endometriosis is going to be recognized as a chronic disease, like a chronic illness, like anything else. So I think like women and pain, it's kind of dismissed. It's like, oh, just take constant, just take pure pain. You're like, no, this isn't normal. Like, you know what I mean? That like, I would say trying to cure pain, it's valid. And kind of my approach, and kind of similar, Ishna, when you came to me, it's very much sore boobs, PMS, your scalp was sore. Do you remember that? Like,
I still get a bad scalp as well. Yeah, I'm ovulating. Yeah.
It kind of, the way I look at endo as well is it's not localized. You go to the doctor and they're looking at your ovaries, looking at your uterus. It's very much with a gynae for one area. Whereas for me with endo, inflammation, if there's a fire, there's a fire everywhere. It's not localized in one place. So like, of course, your scalp is sore. Or I'd say to clients, like, you know, you might have a sore neck. You might have aches and pains. You might get red skin and inflammation. Your mood might be affected. Like your nervous system's massively linked to everything else. So from a kind of more naturopathic perspective, we look at the whole body and it's kind of linked in together. But yeah, like when you came to me, my approach to clients in this position where they're coming with suspected endo, because it takes 9 years in order to get diagnosed with endometriosis. Mm. Like 9 years of pain.
And it's mad. I got diagnosed in Bali. So, which is mental. And I went back because in Bali, they have this system where you pay for a full scan of something. So I paid, so you can get like a full body check. Like you can go in there and you can pay a certain amount of money. You can get your whole body checked from top to toe. You can get a brain check. You can get all these things. So I chose reproductive system. I went a few times and was like, look at this pain, blah, blah, blah. Nothing really came of it. Do you know what? You just don't get the right doctor and then you're kind of fucked. Like if you don't get a doctor who doesn't know what endometriosis is or doesn't know what it looks like on a scan, then you're pretty screwed, because it was there on the scan in black and white for everyone to see. So I went in and the doctor that I was with was she was specialized in this, like most of her clients were endometriosis and adenomyosis. So when she did that, because you can get diagnosed with adenomyosis with an internal vaginal scan.
Yeah.
So you can, if you know about it, it's right there.
Yeah.
But if you don't know about it, they won't see it.
And it's not even like your normal GP who's in the practice last 50 years and he's dealing with, you know, coughs and colds, and you're going in with period pain. He doesn't know what he's looking for. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That it's kind of something. You almost can't blame the system. That's what I said. Like clients come to me and they're so frustrated and they're like, how come it's taking this long? And I'm like, if you're in your doctors and you're crying with pain and you're missing work because you're flooding your, you know, you're leaking through your genes every time you get your period. I was like, they have nothing else to give you. They have tranexamic acid to stop your period pain, or they have the pill, or they give you painkillers. It's like their hands are tired. It's so frustrating that there's no follow advice. And even when clients get surgery, there's no follow advice. It just baffles me. It's a kind of sense of, okay, the surgery's done. I'll see you in a couple of years. We need to get another surgery to remove more tissue. So it's really frustrating because it is such lifestyle medicine that goes along with it. And I'm like the first to say, go and get the surgery, and it's what you do next. It's so important. Just come actually out of curiosity, like, does your mom suffer with her periods? Is there any family history of endo?
So my mom, what we found out, is pretty sure had endometriosis. So my mom has, so my mom, when she was younger, hers seemed a lot worse than me. So when mom got her period, she says she used to like scream and faint and pass out and vomit. And she says she used to kneel down at the holy picture and pray. And she was like, if she knew she was going to get it, she used to tell me stories, like if she was at dad's house and she would know she's going to get it, she'd be like in her nightie and he would drive her home, and she said she'd be out the car vomiting and everything.
So she probably had endo. Yeah. Like,
so then obviously mom went on the pill, and then she never really had any, I don't know. Mom's on, like, I think she was on the Yasmin all her life. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know if they masked it or obviously, but then she obviously got pregnant, and then like she's never had any symptoms since.
I'm like, fascinating. So pregnancy just fixes her.
I don't know, because they do say sometimes pregnancy does stop the hormones and then you can restart and like, et cetera, et cetera. But then also, like, it's very bad practice to say go get pregnant, because that's when you're in those endo grips, people are like, oh, they've just told me to go get pregnant, which is really bad, because sometimes you can't get pregnant on it and sometimes it's very difficult. And so,
and it's hard to say that to someone who's like, that's saying to someone, get pregnant shows how long it takes to get diagnosed. You're not going to tell a 20-year-old to go and get pregnant. So it's the case that, like, most women are coming in their late 20s, early 30s, after being in pain for 10 years, and they're like, just go and get pregnant. It's like, that isn't a practical solution. Do you get me? Because, like, realistically, like, you know, you should have been, or the red flag should have been there for you back when you were, say, 20 and getting kind of digestive issues. You know, has your mum got family history? Like, do you have, you would have been like, oh my God, yeah, my mum suffers really bad her periods. And because you weren't fainting, like you were saying, really have periods, it was just missed for you for so long. So I think for people listening, like, I think the family history is so important. And I think our generation gets screwed over a little bit, because, like, our grannies were not talking about their periods. Like, they were, like, my granny had 6 kids. Like, my other one had 8 kids. So, like, she was either pregnant or breastfeeding for most of her, like, fertile years, and she certainly wasn't telling people about her period pain. And do you get me? It's just kind of something that wasn't talked about. Like, it's very talked about our generation. So it's kind of like, it was kind of a shut up, put up kind of.
Then I was on the, like, I was also on the implant for 11 years. So that would probably be masked as well. I did have some issues when I was on the implant. Like, I would have really intense boob pain, and they put me on the pill whilst on the implant to stop my boob pain.
Bananas. Yeah.
Like, I still look back at that and go, how and under God, no wonder I'm so fucked up.
So, like, what birth controls have you tried in over the years?
So I did the implant, and then obviously came off it because, you know, everything you hear, you just want to be more natural. So I came off it, and then obviously must have discovered I have endo through that. So I had probably a year of, like, getting used to it. Then I started getting a lot of ovulation pain and noticing it then. And then after that, so I was on the coil for a little bit. It didn't agree with me, because also women with adenomyosis are very prone to infection. So any little thing, you know, there's a lot of things I've learned about adenomyosis, because it's, your womb is so it's literally just like so
compacted,
fragile, and it's just like very intense. So even things like, women with adenomyosis shouldn't be in public pill, because we're like a grunt, like it's just like a magnet for infection, because it's so tender. So like, I really try my best, and I've noticed, like, if I do go under the pill, I don't feel like feel very inflamed and like, so things like that. So I think, like, the coil, a lot of people say the coil works for them in my condition, but for me, it didn't agree with me, and I just had a lot of infections, a lot of pain, and whatever. I don't know if it wasn't put in right. And then obviously it was like, don't want to be on anything else. And then, you know, after my surgery, I was like, okay, I need to get on something now, because although I'm so against it, you know, I've read enough research about my condition to know that the reason why I've got too much of estrogen basically. Yeah. So I need to like take away this hormone in order to put it at bay. So then I went on the Slinda pill, which is progesterone.
Yeah.
And I ended up just bleeding the whole time for 20 days of the month for 3 months. So I'm off that again and we're back to nothing. So
ending at the minute. And this yeah. thing, I think, like anyone listening to my podcast on my Instagram, I'm very much like pro, like ovulation, everyone needs to ovulate. The one time there's a spanner in the works is if someone has endometriosis, because it just gives you a break that you don't have to have. Like, I work so much on lifestyle with my clients and they're doing brilliant for 2 weeks and then they're floored for 2 weeks. And it's like, they're never going to be able to like even support gut health and things like that when they're so wrecked with it. So sometimes birth control can kind of be like your saving grace. It's really interesting. The hormones in the bar are the same as the hormones in the Marina Coil and like the mini pill that you were on. So it's progestin only. So there's no estrogen in it. And it's the hormone estrogen really that kind of makes the tissue grow. So my clients would end up putting things like Yasmin, which is like combined birth control, or Dianet, those really strong ones. I'm like, it just makes me so uneasy. I'm like, go back to your doctor and just say to them, like, are you aware of link between estrogen and endo? You should definitely, even just synthetic estrogen is what you shouldn't be on. So if anyone's listening and they're on a combined birth control, go back and talk to your doctor about it and maybe switch like that, the mini pill or the bar or something like that. How is your iron now? So were you actually diagnosed with low iron then?
Yeah, so I'm still low iron, but you know, with adenomyosis as well, you're actually like bleeding internally. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say so interesting from like a science perspective. So basically, I remember like reading this and made so much sense. All my clients would end up, it's very, very unusually someone that doesn't have low ferritin or low iron. And basically the tissue that grows, it responds, it's like your period tissue, right? Mm-hmm. And your period tissue, estrogen tells that period tissue to grow and it makes your period. And then when progesterone drops at the end of your cycle, that bleed comes and you're able to get rid of it through a period, right? Mm-hmm. But if that tissue is growing, say in like your uterine wall, if it's in your ovaries, if it's in your fallopian tubes, and when progesterone drops, it has nowhere to go. There's no opening. Do you know what I mean? There's no vagina for that to come out. So it just gets built up. That's what forms the tissue. So it's like all this tissue filled with blood. I'm like, oh my God, I know. Obviously, you're like, I know. I can feel it.
I know.
You're like, yeah, I know. But it's just so interesting. I'm like, that's where the iron is going. It's like your body is literally like just storing it in like the wrong place.
I know. I have to be very careful. And like, it's mad because I'm like, I always see, this is my positive side of it. I'm like, it makes me meditate every day and do things for my nervous system every day, because I just know that like, if I don't do it, then I have to keep my nervous system like at bay all the time. So I could have got away with not doing that all the time, but now I have to do it all the time, because I'll feel it. Like if I go a few days without doing something to calm myself down, like I'll get a flare up or I'll get a pain or whatever.
And even constipation. So there's two different types of constipation. There's one called spastic constipation, and spastic constipation is that your body's tense. Like that's from stress. So like eating more fiber doesn't really work for those people. Like you need to take things like magnesium to make your body actually relax. And then think of atonal constipation, where you physically don't have enough fiber to push and not drink enough water. So it's kind of interesting to know which one you are. Like people come to me like, I'm eating loads of fiber, and they're up, they're running around like lunatics all day. I'm like, when do you have time to poo? Like, when are you telling your body to actually relax? So even like meditation and relaxing can really help with digestive issues as well.
Because you told me, I think it was you, that you were like, okay, you need to be on like 1,000 milligrams of magnesium. And that was kind of life changing for me.
Or 400, 1,000. Oh my God, that's like hardcore.
Wait, I can't remember. Was it not 1,000? I have like, I just have a scoop of it, which is probably like, I don't know, whatever. Just sometimes I'll take a scoop and a half. But I definitely notice a massive difference in myself and in my constipation when I'm on the magnesium. And it's mad when I don't use it. Like I feel like a completely different person, even with my muscles and stuff. So I'll get like, you know, another symptom for me is like really congested muscles. Like I'll not even be working out and I'll have like, it feels like DOMS because.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's your whole body. Yeah. That's what annoys me with it. Fair enough doing surgery to focus on one area, but the inflammatory tissue affects your whole immune system. Mm-hmm. But I was saying earlier as well, Shane, when people come to me and I'm kind of querying endo, I'm like, okay, do they have endo? My kind of approach, kind of what I did with you the first time, is like, I can fix sore boobs, I can fix period pain, I can fix PMS. I'm so confident that I know how to do that, because it's it's like a script. Like you figure out the root of the problem and you put this plan in place and it works. And it's the people who come back to me like 3 months later and they're like, Ash, I'm still in bits. And they're the people I'm like, there's something else going on here. Like you can't, yeah. like, and they're not seeing any difference. Like, no, I'm still really, really bad with period pain, because what I can do is remove inflammatory tissue. It's like trying to me remove your earlobe. Like, no amount of herbal medicine is going to get rid of your ear. Like, do you get me? So it's like, that's something as well to be really aware of for anyone listening. And they feel like they've listened to all the podcasts and they've done all the advice I've been talking about, and they're still like, no, there's something else going on. Really push for that diagnosis. So feel me, and then actually how you get diagnosed, because this is something I think that's so hard as well. So you went to Bali, they mentioned endo, adenomyosis, by looking at the scans. And what was the next process? You came back to Ireland then, didn't you?
So they like gave me like a diagnosis. Yeah. They, you know, sent me like the scan and everything, and they had wrote down like adenomyosis. And to be honest, like it is, I even remember, it's so funny because you're literally getting diagnosed and your legs are right up and you're like, hi. And I just start crying because
I was just going to ask you, how did it feel to actually have a diagnosis?
I can't explain how much you need a diagnosis. Everyone just needs like this massive relief on yourself. And I can't even explain how much I beat myself up every single day and how my body looks, because I was like, why am I not losing weight? Why do I feel like this? Why am I, even though like I am like, it's just like my body just looks bigger. Like my womb is 8 millimeters bigger than a normal womb. Like it's just like a bit more stretched. It's like larger. And like, as soon as I knew that, I like accepted my body. Like I actually gave myself this massive break of like, no, like my body's harboring a disease. And like, it was just so empowering for me to get a diagnosis and to be able to like, you know, tell people like when I'm, you know, out and like, I'm like, I have to go home. Like I have a disease, you know, it's easier to say that than to be like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And everyone's like, oh, fuck, here comes Sinead again complaining about something. Do you know what I mean? So it literally was. And then adenomyosis was like the thing that I thought I had, but also the worst thing you could ever do is go to Google and go to Facebook forums, because because the Facebook groups are literally full of people like hating everything, and it's horrible. It's like a horrible place to go. I can't explain, like never do that. So then I just Googled adenomyosis. Adenomyosis, the only cure is hysterectomy. That's the first thing that came off. And I was just like, stop it. And I didn't read anything else. I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I lay in bed and I just saw like, I just remember thinking like, I can't give my boyfriend a baby. I can't give myself a baby. I can't give my mom and dad a grandchild, all these things. Like this whole day was just like intense, intense, intense. But then, you know, as I spoke about it, like I came on my story then, and I was like, look, I've just been diagnosed. Like I just got to process. And loads of amazing, amazing women emailed me and like emailed me, DM me. And they were like, Sinead, I have adenomyosis. I had a baby. I have endo. I have a baby. And like, that just made me, they're like, no, you can manage pain. You can manage pain holistically. You can manage pain supplements. You can manage pain. And like so many people sent me these amazing messages, and I just got this massive sense of relief. And like, for me, like I'm on the process of like, you know, days I'm pain free, days I'm not. And I'm starting to understand where it comes in and stuff. So I definitely think like, it's so important, because how can you treat something you don't know what it is? And with adenomyosis and endometriosis, like there's certain things that have like helped me now. And like, you know, I went from being in pain every single day. Like, I mean, striking down like pain on the left, on my left side, especially, to now, you know, I'm uncomfortable sometimes and I do have pain, but like, I'm definitely not at the point where I would leave a room anymore. So I'm at that point.
It's stressing your life so much.
Yeah. I also know when it's coming and what to do when it's coming. Mm-hmm. And I can sometimes realize what I've done to even like get to that stage. So yeah, to get diagnosed is amazing. And then like, so I had adenomyosis, and then that was it. I didn't do any treatments or anything in Bali. I was just like, okay, I'm going to go home and like get treated there. So then I went home, went to the Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic, who were like amazing as well. And they wanted to do, because with adenomyosis, he was like, adenomyosis, 90% of people with adenomyosis have endometriosis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of just like,
you booked surgery just knowing you're going to get the tissue removed rather than checking for it. Yeah.
And so then
just to say to anyone listening as well, the only real way to actually diagnose an endo is to go in with like keyhole surgery. Mm-hmm. They actually go in and look into the uterus and be like, yeah, there's that tissue there. It's called laparoscopy. It is laparoscopy. I always said say that wrong, but I think that actually is right.
And I'll see.
Yeah. Laparoscopy. Yeah, it is. But is that so you came home? Who did you go to the Ulster? What was it called?
Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic in Maharvelt.
The recommendations of places to go and good, doctor.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, you can find a doctor, but like some of them really don't want to operate. Like, and that's fair enough if they feel like you're not in a position to operate, but it sort of depends. I think they kind of judge it on like how old you are and if you want to have children, and like, because you're super fertile after your surgery, because you've just, like, you know, Molly May is a very good example of that. Like, she didn't use contraception her whole time she's been with Tommy, and then she has her laparoscopy and then she falls pregnant. So they do tell you that they're like, you're extremely fertile, you know, like you've just flushed out all your tubes, because they flush out all your tubes, they clean everything up. And, you know, when they went in there, so he said that, like, he opened it up and he was like, oh, I'm not going to make my dinner plans. There's a lot. I was at stage 3 endometriosis.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, it was all like down very, very low, like all around.
And was it in your bowels? Did they see that?
No. So no, it was around the bowels, but there was not, like, there was nothing in the bowels. Even when I did a colonoscopy, there was nothing inside, thank God. And I think what I'm dealing with now is bacteria. So I'm on this, and I had a parasite, so I'm kind of on medication for all that stuff now.
Yeah.
So, cause this is obviously just, it all links, doesn't it? Like, everything just fucking links.
Do you know what it is? I remember my mom saying to me years ago, like, you know, when you're in this kind of medicine world, or when you're helping people, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, Shani, even though it's been so hard for you, like, the amount of people you have helped already just from this, obviously you have like your meditation business, which has helped people from a different perspective, but the knowledge you have, and in 5 years time, like, that's what I want to do this podcast. You've so much nuggets of information that people are going to be listening, like, oh, I didn't realize that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you have, like, I feel like my purpose is doing what I'm doing. I know exactly this is what I should be doing. And I feel like I had to start my podcast because, like, I want to give people free information. I want people to be able to access this information. So it's awful that you have to be like the martyr and go through it, but I think everything does happen.
No, I know. I'm like that's, I see the good in it. I see the good, and like, people will message me all the time, and especially people who, you know, get it right on the right time as well, and then, you know, get to have their babies, because a lot of people have come off to fertility issues because they have it around certain areas. But, you know, they've went into mine, and there was a lot around. So my left side obviously had a lot of pain. So he said that, like, he had to lift up the organs, and there was a lot on the water pipes, which made a lot of sense to me. But then, yeah, I was quite lucky because there wasn't much. Well, there was, but like, it wasn't like embedded into my ovaries, basically. So he was kind of like happy.
So were they happy with the surgery? So at post-op, they were like, he's like, you were stage 4, I canceled my dinner plans.
So stage 4 is when it's inside, like, you know, inside the bowels. I think stage 4, I was in stage 3. So canceled dinner plans, like 3. Like, I remember like waking up and like looking at the clock, and he told me it was only supposed to be a certain amount of time. And I remember looking at the clock going, oh God. Like, I just knew that it was like a lot. And then he came in, and then it's so funny because you're like, obviously, like, a little bit high from your anesthesia or whatever we call it, and then he's like, show me all the photos of my organs, and I need those photos, I want them. And he's like, no, you need to request them from the hospital because I want to show people that. When you see what it looks like on your organs, like, your family and friends can finally see what you're going through.
Because
that's the only time I've ever seen how painful it is, when you actually see photos of like these big fucking white cysts on top of your organs. So I'm gonna, I need to get those so I can do a reel on it. And like,
So what was your recovery like?
So my recovery was actually great. And I think a lot of people are very surprised. They're like, why are you off? And I'm like, I think that the surgery just went severely, severely well. I actually was quite lucky because I had the head of endometriosis in Ireland with my doctor. So he called, I'm not sure on his name, but that's all I know, because they called him in.
I forgot ablation. Do you know what type of surgery it was?
So it wasn't the burning, it was the
removed it.
Yeah, so they actually removed it. So they were very, very happy. They feel like they had got it all. And I didn't even have the gas pain. I was quite lucky. I obviously was you're very bloated, like, it's quite funny. And then you just kind of like drink loads and loads of peppermint tea. And the first few days I couldn't walk. Now, I would say that the first few days were obviously very painful. You can't really walk. Like, I kind of got wheeled out because I was like, whoa, I can't walk. But I can't even, it's such a weird feeling, but the pain from the surgery was less pain than the endo. So,
and it was different pain. You were like, this is, I'm in pain. I just got surgery. Like, you probably were like, bring it off, you know?
I could feel something different, especially that left side was really, really hard for me. So it took me a few weeks, but like, I mean, I was fully, then my stomach had fully went down. I felt like I could get on my daily stuff. And it was fine. So my recovery was totally fine. And it was definitely a lot less than what I thought it would be. And then I definitely was like a new woman there, definitely for a long time. And I was like wearing tight clothes, because one thing I could never wear tight clothes. It's so, so uncomfortable for me. So I can definitely, I'm definitely a lot, lot better. I'm still suffering, but like, it's more like my digestive at the minute than like the striking pain. Well, the pain does, it's more like the ovulation.
What are your triggers? Like what do you know now is fair enough?
Like I am gluten free, but there is times where sometimes like I will eat gluten. I won't know. Like there's certain things, you know, because you're just learning about gluten. Like there's some things, yeah, you just don't, like there's sauces and you're like, oh fuck, like there's gluten in the sauce. Like,
and it kind of creeps just in. Yeah. And at the same time, like I'm sure even people listening were like, they probably have pals and were like, I'm going gluten free, I'm going on a diet. Like gluten gets blamed for so many issues. And I'm like, you're probably grand. Like, most people I'm like, you're grand, eat the gluten.
Yeah.
One time my ear is going to pick up is if someone has endo or any kind of autoimmune, that's when you're really looking at gluten, because it can just increase inflammation so much.
Yeah, so it's not like it's even, and gluten is a weird one, because I just try to be very, very mindful and try to make the choices, but at the same time, like, you know, I do eat gluten and stuff, but I also went on a meditation retreat, didn't I, for a month, and meditated and ate really well, no gluten, no dairy, no nothing. And you know, that was the first time in like 2 years that I had felt pain free.
Yeah, but it's probably like the combination of not doing anything. Like stress is so amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like imagine in an ideal world, that's what everyone needs. So it's probably the like meditate. How many hours are you meditating?
Yeah, a lot.
And you're the gluten.
So it was hard. I did implement. Like I brought back in the chicken. I brought back in like certain foods, and then I brought back in gluten, and I just didn't do so well. So I just, to be honest, even when I look at like I did my research on gluten, and there's no solid research on it being great, to be honest. Like even the research projects are small amounts of people trying this out. And, you know, 75% of these people say they felt better. They felt 33% better. So it's not even like a massive research project on gluten. It's just like, you know what, I'm going to try my best to make the best choices that I can do. Same goes for dairy. Like, you know, dairy, you know, has all those hormones that are adding to the problem, but I'm not like, I'm not going to eat this chocolate bar. I definitely, what you said to me as well, what was like, think about, lighten the fire, you know, you have your tea in the morning and then you have your chocolate bar and then you have your cheese. Just be very mindful of how much dairy you're putting in your body. So I actually stepped away from a lot of dairy, but if I want to eat it, like if I'm going to treat myself, I will. But I definitely noticed how much dairy I was intaking, and I definitely limit it.
I kind of realizing it. I think someone with like a chronic illness like you, there's no end goal. So like being like someone, no dairy, no gluten, that's it, you're done. Like I would never say that to clients. I kind of say to people, like certain times things are good for the soul. So like you're like, oh my God, let's get pizza and wine. Mm-hmm. Like probably two of the worst things that you probably have. But like if that is good for your soul, if that's what you need, if you're going to feel better after that, you might be a bit in pain the next day and be like, oh, you know, it was worth it. Yeah. It's like figuring out like your happy medium almost. You don't feel restricted. You don't feel like you're living this really, you know, awful life and you're missing all the good things, but you're just more aware of it, that you're not going to go out for pizza on Friday, like drink all day Saturday, like eat loads of bread on Sunday. Like it's just being respectful of what your body needs as well.
So
in terms of like supplements and things like that, what are you taking right now?
So right now I'm on, have you ever heard of Militar?
No.
Wait, let me get the box just so I have the definite thing, because I don't know if you have it in the UK, because this is like a thing here, but they've been using it for years. It's not like that. So it's called Mitaflor.
Mitaflor.
So it's like this. So it's basically this like really specific probiotic for the gut and for constipation. So I think like most of my pain is coming from not being able to pass.
Do you ever take psyllium husks? Do you ever take psyllium?
You know what? I feel like the doctor wrote that down when I was kind of like coming out of my anesthesia.
It's just like it's a herb, but it's a bulker. It's called bulking laxative. So, and not only that, but it'd be really good for helping to break down estrogen as well. You just buy in capsules or powder. You can put it into smoothies, put it into your porridge. Yeah. It's not like flaxseed, but it's just a bit more of it. It's actually a herb. Well, flaxseed's a herb as well.
Also, I forgot. Yeah. So the doctor said, so when they did the, my colonoscopy, why can't I speak today? Colonoscopy. What is going on with me? I cannot speak anyway.
Sweet, yeah.
The fucking camera up my ass. Okay, that's where we're gonna go with that. So he was like, you have a really, really long bile. He's like, it's very uncommon, but like it's also very common for people to have this, to have constipation.
Because it's longer spans of time, like it actually takes longer.
Yeah. He's like, it's very long at the bottom. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, it makes a lot of sense too. But you know, these things keep coming. So I'm on this like probiotic basically to get the bacteria or whatever, and then I go back there in 3 weeks. So I take my magnesium, I take my evening primrose, I take my hormone balance from my protein. It's kind of like just a combination. Then I was on the NAC. That's what you had me on, which was amazing. Yeah. I thought that really cleared me out. It was very,
very good. Really, really good for endo. It actually helps reduce cysts from forming back or tissue growth. It's really
good. Yeah, but the one that you like told me to get, they don't have that here. So I had to get one here and I have to take it in a spoon. It's fucking rotten. Oh my God. It's like pure salty. So fucking bitter and I have to just go like this and like drown it. But anyway, so I take that magnesium. Now I'm definitely having a lot. I don't have much boob pain. Like I got my period this month without even noticing.
Amazing.
So I'm not really having like massive PMS at the minute or anything like that. I'd say the only thing that's kind of causing me at the moment is just a bit of digestive issues, which hopefully will be sorted with, you know, because I'm in like my doctor's like the head of gastro diseases. So that's where I'm at now. So
use your advantage of being in Australia. Like herbalists,
it's amazing.
In Australia are on another level. Like all my clients, I think, you know me, I'm obviously obsessed with herbs. So I think they're a whole missing link that are world, even the way like yoga, like, you know, you be so into yoga, meditation, but like yoga is the practice of like Ayurveda medicine. Do you know what I mean? So there's Ayurveda herbs, the same kind of practice as Chinese medicine herbs. So I think that's the other link. And I know I gave you herbs once or twice before, but you should definitely look into that, even from a digestive perspective. Like antibiotics can only go so far for gut issues, where you've antimicrobial herbs like berberine and you have wormwood, which is used for malaria. Like, do you know what I mean? So there's so much. You should definitely look into that when you're over there. It'd be amazing herbalist that you could probably work with.
Yeah, there's loads here. Even like just the health system is just like insane. Like, it's so good. Like even when I went into the doctors, they were like, okay, here's your referral, go next door. And you go next door to like the head of all the specialists. And then you go in. And then I went that day and he was like, okay, we need to get you down to the lab. Went downstairs to the lab, did all my tasks, and then picked me in for like all my stuff. It's mad. It's so quick. Like it's
so what's next? Then get your digestion right and then just keep going. Just trying to
So I'm now doing I'm gonna go acupuncture, kinesiology. So a lot of people are telling me like acupuncture has changed their life in terms of like endo. But I'm doing really well in terms of like I honestly, for me, I've just noticed that like when I can't pass, I'm in pain. So, so that's what I'm
managing. You should definitely go get herbs, like natural laxatives for herbs.
Yeah.
Just even having them.
Can you give me a name of them? I've got a herbalist next door and I keep telling everyone I chat to. I'm like, I need to chat to my herbalist first.
I will. I'll actually give you a list of herbs and ask them to make you up a tonic, because even if you just took them like 3 or 4 days a week, you just need it. And they're not like laxatives where like your body gets reliant on it. They just help support. They help support digestive secretions to make you go to the toilet. Yeah.
So this is what the doctor said. He said that like that I might need help all the time just because of the long bile or whatever and stuff like that. And it's going to help my endo as well if I keep being able to do it and stuff like that. But I definitely think like the surgery definitely helped massive amounts. Yeah. But it's no quick fix. So I'll just have to say that. Like it's hard.
If anyone's listening now and is you 2 or 3 years ago, like what advice would you give them? Keep going, keep pushing for
If they're like not diagnosed?
Yeah. Yeah, say if they're like, oh my God, that sounds like me. Like, what do you think they should do? Or what advice would you love to have known 4 years ago, three years?
Even like my friends, like I kept going to the doctors and I kept just getting like, and honestly, I was just like, oh, it must be nothing. And my friends were the ones that were like, you know, obviously seeing me leave the dinner table, seeing me sitting in pain, like when I was out for dinner, like unbuttoning my jeans. And they were like, you got to keep going. Like, this is a joke. Do you know what I mean? And like, I feel like, without them telling me to just keep going to the doctor. And like, I went to the doctor maybe 15 times, I'd say, before I got fully diagnosed, you know, like different doctors fucking all over the world, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, you know, what's mad, you know, like the thing that diagnosed me for me is fucking TikTok. You know what I mean? Like I did not know what endometriosis was. Like I really did not until obviously I'm Googling my symptoms thinking, what's going on? What's going on? And then like, obviously TikTok has picked this up and like this woman just popped up about talking about endometriosis. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I couldn't connect with it because it was the heavy, heavy periods. So I was like, and then I started to like watch more and more people. And I was like, it's the awareness. The awareness is going to help so much people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I even saw you for a consultation. I didn't pick up it was endo.
Yeah.
And I've seen clients be like, okay, I think you need to go back to your doctor. Like I kind of see the red flag now. So it is actually so interesting that you are kind of a more unusual case because it's the lighter periods. It didn't happen. You had no hormone issues until, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you are kind of where most of my clients come to me like, oh my God, I was fainting when I was 14 in school. And you kind of see that pattern a bit more.
Yeah. I have fainted a few times, but like, and like sometimes I feel like I'm going to faint, but that's only happened recently enough. So I never had that when I was younger as well. So, you know, it's not just, it's happened when you were 14, you know, it can come on you for some reason. I don't know, but to be fair, now I think about it, I was on the implant when I was 15 years old, which to me is madness because I wasn't even sexually active. Like, I don't know why I had it. All my friends, like, they all went. I just went with them. What the fuck?
Actually, do you know, we'll end in a half, you know, because this episode is obviously like so amazing in terms of knowledge, but I want to know, this is spilling the tea. And one of the things I did over the last season was called period chats. We chatted all through periods. Tell me your most embarrassing period story to end our chats.
See, when you said this to me, I was like, I literally don't have any. I cannot think of any. Like, and I was like, and then the other day, literally yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, Sunday, I was in the toilet and I had my period and I went to change my tampon and I went to put the paper in the bin and then I put the tampon in the bin and I'm wearing white trousers and I have no tampon and I'm just, and that was literally yesterday. I was like, did I just manifest this? Cause I didn't have any period stories.
Like, you're tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have any embarrassing period stories.
You know, it's funny. I actually don't have any either. If someone asked me the question they asked, I'm like, I actually have no idea. I just don't really remember. Like, obviously nothing that significant.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, I'm like, okay, I think I'm good to go. Because I've never had like a really heavy period. So it's never really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Always have very, very light. Not light,
but. Are you taking iron at the moment? Should we can talk about this app? Yeah. I know I'm just like, as you're doing choice, I'm like, Sinead, what are we taking here? I'll take it. We could take it on.
No,
that's the only thing anyone listening is that like iron can be so constipating.
Yeah,
But there is a type of iron by glycinate and it's much easier to digest, or you can get it through herbs. The same herbs actually that are good for constipation help with iron as well. They're called blood tonics. So even with acupuncture, Sinead, like we always say, like herbal medicine or Chinese medicine is kind of the top, and that will get separated into acupuncture or herbal medicine. They're the same.
Yeah.
The way when you go to see your acupuncturist, they're going to look at your tongue, they're going to look at circulation, they're going to talk about stagnation, this kind of stuff. So it's, I'm delighted then. If you're going for acupuncture, I'll be happy with that, even if you're not. Herbs, because I'm like, at least she's getting some TCM.
No, I need herbs because I had your herbs before, but I just need new ones because remember I couldn't bring them with me because they are like, is that the one that's really, really yellow? My mum used to go mad because it stains everything.
It's turmeric, so like anti.
She's actually the freaking dish, because obviously if I drop it, I wipe it with the dishcloth and it's all orange. Which is
it, like, goes everywhere.
Traumatized.
I let you go. I know it's your Monday night. Thank you so much for coming on this episode. I feel like it's going to help so many, and I'll be able to redirect people back to here. Just to hear someone, even the fact that you're able to be like at the end, I'm so much better. I'm able to manage symptoms. To give someone hope. Like, imagine you listened to this like 2.5 years ago when you were in the height of it, like, and knowing that the things you can do and keep pushing for a diagnosis, pain is not normal. Like, don't undermine your pain. Like, what you're feeling is valid. Like, I think that's something that as women we're just told to like take the painkillers, you're grand, you know. So it's a real Irish thing, isn't it? Like, you're grand. Do you know what I mean?
You're grand. And even when you even say it, like, even when you say, tell someone you have endo and you have pain, like they just don't understand it either.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'm like, whoa, like I'll take like a pain. Like, I'm like, I shouldn't be driving. This is like hectic sometimes when I'm like takes this massive pain, but it's like one of those shitting ones. But, and then they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, well, not really.
All right. I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.